Good evening and welcome to our evening service for Linwood United Reformed Church. It's a pleasure to be with you again this evening. We pray for God's blessing upon each and every one of you in our respective communities, in our church family. We do pray for a blessing upon you, and we pray that this day, this Lord's Day, would have been a blessing to you and to your families as well. And we're going to begin with a prayer. So let's begin with praying. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity we have again a second time on this Lord's Day to be gathered together as the communion of the saints. And we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have of lifting our prayers and petitions before your throne, knowing that Jesus Christ is sufficient, that he has opened a new and living way for us. We thank you for the beauty of the snow as it falls outside, and we are reminded that Christ's blood has washed us and cleansed us and made us whiter than snow. We do pray that in our time together that we would be encouraged, that we would be reminded of the great blessings that we have through Jesus Christ, and that we as a church would grow in our love for you and our love for one another, that the body of Christ would be perfected, mature, and that we would lift up one another, and that we would praise you in our songs and hymns and spiritual songs. May it be, O Lord, that your name is glorified in this time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to take your Bibles, we're going to be reading from, our first reading is going to be coming from Proverbs chapter 19, Proverbs 19, just one verse there, and we're going to be reading Proverbs 19, verse 21. This was one of my favorite passages when I was in college, reminding us of the fact that God holds all things in his hand. Proverbs 19, there at verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purposes of the Lord that will stand. And it's the fact that the Lord's purposes will endure, even though we have many plans and sometimes our plans don't come to fruition, but we know that God's plan is perfect and his will is going to be done. So let's turn now in our first song. We're going to be singing, Fill Thou My Life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise. And if you are using the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, it's number 534, 534. But if you are using the Blue Psalter Hymnal, the Old Blue Psalter Hymnal, that's page 449. So it's number 449 in the Blue Psalter Hymnal, and it's 534, 534 in the Red Trinity Psalter Hymnal. Let's sing the three stanzas together.
Fill Thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being may proclaim Thy being and Thy ways. Not for the lip of praise alone, nor in the praising heart, I ask but for a life made up of praise in every part. Praise in the common words I speak, life's common looks and tones, in fellowship and joy at home with my beloved ones. Enduring wrong, reproach, or loss, with sweet and steadfast will, forgiving freely those who hate, returning good for ill. So shall each fear, each fret, each care be turned into a song, and every winding of the way the echo shall prolong. So shall no part of day or night from sacredness be free, but all my life in every step be fellowship with thee.
Thank you. It's nice to join our voices together, even though we're not in the same company. It's Nice to be able to sing the saying songs together. We're going to be reading now for our text is going to be found from James chapter 4. James chapter 4. That's where we're going to be finding our text for this evening's message. James chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 13 through 17. I was speaking to my wife earlier today, and I said, I think by the time we're finished with this whole social distancing and quarantine, we're going to have a little bit of a series here at Linwood. It's going to be the coronavirus series, specific messages tailored for this situation in which we find ourselves. So let's read from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. For whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at this text in detail. Let's pray together. Our Almighty God, we do, after having read your word, ask you and lay our hearts open before you. We pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, speak to us and instruct us, that you would humble us before you, and that we would acknowledge that you alone are God, that you hold all things in your hand, and we submit ourselves to you, and we completely depend upon you, O Lord. So do give to us each day what we need, and help us to look to you as the fountain source of every good and perfect gift. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how have your plans for this past few weeks worked out? How specifically have your plans been fulfilled? Maybe you have plans for this coming spring break. We all have lots of plans that we make throughout the given weeks and months. Even at our elders meeting this past week, I normally report on visits that I have planned, that I have scheduled for this next week. But in a short span of 3 days, I went from a busy schedule throughout this next month, a lot of meetings I had planned and visits I planned to do. Suddenly, all of those plans were done. They were completely canceled. So much for my plans. So much for what I thought would take place. What about you? What about your respective families? I imagine that your plans for this month and for next month as well have probably been dramatically altered. One lesson that we can learn, that we must learn as people of Christ, learning from this particular condition that we find ourselves in, is that the making of our plans does not mean those plans will come to be. During our family devotions here at the Alon's house, we've been working our way through James, and we came to these verses earlier this week, and it was very fitting, very applicable as we looked at these words. So we're going to be looking at this theme this evening, that Jesus Christ teaches us humble dependence. Jesus Christ teaches us humble dependence when it comes to making our plans for the future. And let us not, as God's people, fail to learn this lesson. Let us not miss this opportunity that we have to learn this lesson of humble dependence. In our first point, we are going to see that our life and the plans that we make, our future, our plans for profit, these things are not certain. When we make plans for the future, the first thing that we need to confess is that we cannot guarantee the success of the plans that we make. The first assumption that needs to be exposed is found in James 4, verse 13, the false assumption, which reads, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. The first assumption that James is here bringing before us, an assumption which we cannot and must not make, is this: that we can make plans for tomorrow, plans for profit, plans for money, making money, transactions with business and investments. How many people in the world, in North America and the world over, knew that the stock market would crash as it did this last few weeks? How about the airlines, restaurants, cruise lines? How many of them were making plans to completely shut down and cancel services? I say probably not very many. And how many members of our own congregation were planning on seeing their portfolio or their retirement accounts go from bull to bear in that one short week, robust to deflated? Probably not very many. The point that James is here making is abundantly clear. You do not know, I do not know, we do not know what tomorrow will bring. The fact is, life is uncertain. Plans for profit and peace and prosperity, these are not guaranteed. You and I do not know what tomorrow will bring, what tomorrow will hold. Will tomorrow hold sickness or health? I don't know. I don't know what your tomorrow will bring. Plenty or want? Recession or inflation? Security or chaos? I mean, really, if you think about it, 2 weeks ago, who would have really thought there would be a shortage of toilet paper? Who plans on the world hoarding these things and empty shelves when you go to the grocery store? These things were not planned. Will we as a nation experience panic or peace? I do not know, and neither do you. I did not see this coming, but the comfort of this truth is this: God did. Our God knew that this was coming, and he is not surprised. He is not taken aback. He is not caught unaware. So what good did all of our planning do? Yes, it may be that gasoline is very cheap right now, but where can we go? What good does it do us? So the first assumption that James is bringing to the table, an assumption that needs to be exposed as false, as wrong, is that we can assume plenty and prosperity because of our own wisdom. That you know what tomorrow will bring. You cannot, we cannot guarantee personal wealth for ourselves, for our nation. We cannot guarantee financial security by all the plans and by all the stimulus packages that the government hands down. These things will not guarantee financial health. As Christians, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful so that we do not live like practical atheists. A person who is a confessing Christian, who makes the declaration and who in their profession declares to trust in Christ, yet acts, when it comes to making decisions, acts as if their future, their prosperity depends completely on themselves, are living contrary to their profession. As Christians, we must be very careful that we are not trusting our wisdom for our wealth and future, because God knows and he holds the future and he loves us as a child. So let's make sure that our view on wealth is not worldly and secular. For the Lord provides for his children. He sees his children and their dependence upon them, as dependence on him. As Proverbs 19 says, we may have many plans, but it's only God's purposes that will come to be. True and lasting wealth is not gained or merited with these hands. Let me say that again. True and lasting wealth is not gained or merited with these hands. It is only Jesus Christ and his work that purchases true and lasting riches and inheritance that cannot be lost, that remains kept in heaven for us, undefiled. And that's the source of our lasting comfort. But not only is it true that our profit and prosperity for our life is uncertain, the very substance of our life itself is short, and it is incredibly brief. Continuing in verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, for what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. The second assumption that James brings to the table is this: I will live to see tomorrow. This false assumption that you can, by sheer will or wisdom, bring your existence into tomorrow is boasting and it is pride. Not only is the fact that tomorrow may not be prosperous, the very fact is you may not live to see tomorrow itself. To prove this point, James says, what is your life? You're like a mist. You are a vapor. Your life is short. You're fragile. Literally, you're like a puff of smoke. You know, children, when you wake up early on a winter day and you go outside and you breathe and you have that little mist that comes from your mouth, it seems but a few moments, fleeting, and it disappears. Now, no one takes mist or vapor to be incredibly stable. It's not reliable. It's not dependable. It can't carry anything. It doesn't have any strength. For example, if you were to attempt to build your house on the top of a cloud, or to even try to stand on a cloud, what would happen, children? You would fall right through. It wouldn't hold you. It has no substance, no stability, and that's what our lives are like. We are short. We are temporary. We are limited. We are passing. And even by our very planning, even with all of our wisdom, can we add stature? Can we add a moment? Can we add a minute? Can we add a second to our lives? No, as Psalm 90 verse 6 says, your life is like grass that grows. It sprouts up in the morning, and when the sun shines upon it, it withers away. We may live, Psalm 90 says, maybe 70 or 80 years, but that's brief, that's passing. What's the point? Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us, Lord, to number our days. Teach us the heart of wisdom so that we might number our days. Learning that our lives are short is an important step in gaining the heart of wisdom. To know yourself, to know that your life is brief and that eternity is coming. What is our short life, the short span of our life compared to eternity? Our passing mist compared to God, who is a rock that endures forever. One who looks at 1,000 years as if it's a passing watch of the night. So the point that James is here bringing is not only is our profit uncertain, not reliable, not dependable, your very life is not a certainty. Remember, it's true, congregation, you and I may get sick and die. It's a sobering, humbling truth. But this fact should not fill us with fear, because as Christians, we know that our lives have been ransomed. We've been secured. We've been redeemed. Knowing the brevity of life is a wonderful gift that we have as Christians, because Jesus enables us by his Spirit to see that our life is short. We get a heart of wisdom, and we know that there is something that is permanent that is yet to come. And by God's grace, we have the promise of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world that is to come. So look to God for the life that does not end. Eternal life is a gift secured and delivered to us by Jesus Christ. And the fact that Christ has given us eternal life means that even though the life in this life, in this physical fallen substance, is incredibly short and frail, there is a hope and a certainty of lasting life with our Lord. And as we move into our final point, we find the source of our confidence and hope. What is the point that James is here making? He is exposing these false assumptions so that we no longer trust in ourselves. He's exposing our pride to drive us to God in humility. Human pride boasts with these assumptions. I'm going to make money tomorrow. I'm going to be filthy rich. I'm going to live to see tomorrow. Yet as our passage says in verse 16, all such boasting is sin. These false assumptions are bragging in the presence of God. It's pride. It's arrogance. You're assuming that you know more, that you have more power, that you can act as if you were in control of all things. Your talk is empty, and your plans are filled with deceit. This pride is evil. And here James is exposing it. And the Christian here says, I do not know what tomorrow will bring. I do not know if it's going to be much or little. In fact, I don't know if I'm even going to live to see tomorrow. Yet I know God is in control. And I depend on Him for not only my bread and my water and my shelter, but for every breath that I breathe. This humility, brother and sister, this humility is God honoring. So when we make plans for the future, we are called to make those plans with a humble dependence. We should say, as verse 15 says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live or do this or that. In Latin, this phrase is Deo Volente, or it's sometimes shortened as DV at the end of a sentence. It simply means that our plans are made contingent on God's good pleasure. We live at the favor of our God. But saying God willing or Deo Volente is more than just a catchphrase. It really is a heart posture. This humble dependence is a moment-by-moment faith. We make our plans, but we make them with submission. We look to the Lord to prosper the work of our hands. And when our plans fall to the floor, when our ideas fall flat, we acknowledge that this too is from the Lord. So when we are making plans with this heart of humility, we are even in our planning acknowledging that our plans are not perfect and may not come to be. This is so liberating. Making your plans with the acknowledgement that God may not cause those plans to come into fruition, it frees us from the slavery to the schedule. This world is not a closed system. There are forces and powers beyond what we can see, principalities that continue to act. But our God is in control of all of these things. Now, this does not mean that careful planning for the future is bad in and of itself. We are planning creatures. We're scheduled creatures. We're routine creatures. But every plan must be made with submission, prayer, and humility. So that when our plans don't work out, which you and I have been forced to acknowledge these past weeks, when our plans don't work out, we're not crushed, we're not overwhelmed, we're not filled with despair, because when we made the plan at the outset, we said, Lord, this is what I believe you are leading me to do, but I lay my life in your hands. Even if we get what we're hoping for, even if our plans prosper, what good do prospered plans do us if they are not accompanied by God's blessing and grace? So for us to apply this concept to our hearts and lives, we must be creatures of constant humility, moment by moment trust, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to trusting Him day by day. A reliance on our God and Father, looking to Him as the fountain source of every good and perfect gift, knowing that He will provide us all things necessary for body and soul as long as we are called to live here on this earth. This sobering truth here in James chapter 4, this sobering truth frees us from fear and anxiety and frustration when our schedules are broken and when our failed plans do not come to fruition. So today we see that the Lord uses sorrow and even unexpected events to topple the idols of self-dependence and pride. So let's learn the lesson of James 4. Let's not use this time, or let's not fail to use this time to be taught properly the lesson of humility. Our plans are all contingent on the Lord's pleasure and will. His sovereign will is the only one that cannot and has not been broken. My plans, your plans, are not certain. They are not set in stone. As we saw last week, our health and our wealth are not ultimately bound to this world. So as people of God, let us pray and live with childlike faith. Because our God is sovereign and He is in control. Rest on this fact. Although your plans and my plans are many, it is the purpose of the Lord that will endure. In all your planning, remember that it is God's will alone that is good, and He alone knows what the future holds. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and he will direct your path. Amen. We do, O Lord, thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have of being known as your people. And we thank you for the wonderful privilege of knowing that you hold the future, that you hold all things in your hand. That even though we do not know what tomorrow will bring, we do not know if it will be plenty or want. In fact, we don't know whether or not we will live to see tomorrow. Yet this truth does not fill us with fear, because we are confident that we are so firmly in your hands that nothing can happen to us apart from your will. We do, O Lord, acknowledge that we are far too often proud and boastful in our making of plans. And when our plans don't come to fruition, we become angry and sullen because we thought we knew what was best. Yet we learn the lesson of James. We humble ourselves before you, and we look to your hand. O Lord, establish the work of our hands. Cause us to be humble, faithful, and dependent servants that look to you each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to recite together the words of the Apostles' Creed. If you'd like to say these words together, I think it's an important reminder of who we are as God's people. So when you are asked to give a summary of your Christian faith, or as a Christian asked, what do you believe, we all confess these words together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And for our closing song, we're going to sing God Moves in a Mysterious Way. In our Red Trinity songbooks, that's page 256, if you have a Red Trinity songbook. But if you have the blue, it is 461. So 461 in the blue. And in the Trinity, it's 256. We're going to sing the first three, 1 through 3 of 256.
God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take, the clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head.
I feel like I should say you may be seated, but it's wonderful to be with you and to spend time together considering God's word. I pray for God's blessing upon each and every one of you throughout this next week. We pray for God's blessing in your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And I look forward next week, Lord willing, to continuing holding our services on the Facebook Live platform. And if you can join us then, we'd love to see you then. Take care and God bless.